President Bush dubbed last week National Security Week. He started the week with visits to military bases around the country and ended it by ordering airstrikes on Iraqi installations around Baghdad. Those raids took place as Mr. Bush left the country for the first time since moving into the Oval Office. He went to Mexico to visit President Vicente Fox. Mr. Bush also faced questions following the accidental sinking of a Japanese fishing boat by a U.S. submarine. And violence continued to reverberate throughout Israel as Ariel Sharon worked to put together a coalition government. Here to talk about these and other foreign policy issues are Nayan Chanda, the editor-at-large with the Far East Economic Review. He joins us from Tokyo. Masha Lipman is deputy editor for the Russian news magazine Itogi. She joins us from Moscow. And syndicated columnist Rami Kouri, normally based in Amman, Jordan, joins us from Arizona. He's the former editor of the Jordan Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rami Kouri, you're in the United States now on a speaking tour, but I'm sure your attention is focused on the Middle East. What do you make of the air raid on Baghdad?
Well, it's a little bit comical, actually, in political terms, because I can't understand what the American administration would expect to achieve using a policy that it has used for the last 10 years with rather spectacular failure. The sanctions policy, the military strikes, the rough talk, all of these things have not worked. And in fact, there is no monitoring of Iraqi military developments. If the United States and other countries in the region and around the world are really worried that the Iraqi leadership may be producing weapons of mass destruction and other things, they should be doing exactly the opposite of what they're doing now, because there's no monitoring, there's no control about what Iraq is doing. And these airstrikes are a rather profound example of continuing a failed policy.
Well, of course, we're reading that this was meant to send a message to Baghdad that the U.S. and this new administration was going to take the no-fly zone seriously and threats to the allied air traffic in that area seriously. Will it have that effect on Baghdad?
Well, I don't think so. The no-fly zones are not mandated by the United Nations. They have no political, legal, moral, or diplomatic anchorage in any kind of United Nations resolution. They're purely an American-British unilateral move, and I think there really needs to be a reassessment of the whole approach of the United States and the British and the one or two few people around the world who still are supporting them in this policy. I mean, we accept that the world accepts that you don't want countries attacking other countries. We don't want Iraq attacking Kuwait, but we want a single standard of morality applied, and this brings up the question again for all of us in the Middle East. If the U.S. is going to enforce United Nations decisions with unilateral military and economic force in the case of Iraq, why doesn't it use the same approach to apply U.N. resolutions for Palestine, for instance, prohibiting Israeli settlements in occupied Palestinian territory? So this raises the double standard issue again very strongly.
Masha Lipman, Russia is among those countries that criticize the United States. Can tell us more about Russian reaction.
There was a Russian reaction to the raids in Iraq were negative, but this is not the hottest subject in Russia. Russian reaction to the foreign policy, the new foreign policy of the United States, is mostly centered on President Bush's commitment to build a new national missile defense. And this has meant very, very negative reaction here, and more you hear Cold War rhetoric. More and more there is a sense in Russia that it is being painted into a corner, and this is a policy of treating Russia, if not as an enemy, then at least ignoring Russia, saying we will do what we think is right, and we will not care what Russia has to say.
It's interesting, Masha, you raised the term Cold War with respect to these relations. Will there be a response, a military response, military buildup, like the Cold War?
What I said was Cold War rhetoric. One of the most notoriously hawkish generals spoke a few days ago, saying that the national missile defense, of course, is not directed against the so-called rogue states such as Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. He said it is stupid to believe that these countries may be a threat to America. Of course, national missile defense, if it is deployed, will be targeted against Russia and China. I don't think our Cold War is imminent or even possible. The danger is here is not that of a Cold War coming back. It is that of Russia acting out of frustration, Russia becoming more isolationist and more xenophobic.
Nayan Chanda, certainly the U.S. military has been a big issue this week in Tokyo, but more with regard to the sinking of a fishing boat. 9 Japanese are missing in the Pacific Ocean. Relations with Washington are obviously critical to Japan. How do you see the situation working out?
Japanese, actually, public opinion seem pretty satisfied by the response from the Bush administration at the top level. Senior people from Bush on down have called Prime Minister Mori and has apologized. U.S. ambassador has traveled to the hometown of the missing and presumed dead to apologize. But at the same time, the U.S. Navy's attitude is resented. And for instance, the Japanese have been demanding that they keep searching and recover the vessel. And initially, there was some reluctance saying that it may not be possible, but eventually they have carried on and they have found the vessel. So I think it is going to blow over. I don't think this is going to be something that would last very long, because Japan and U.S. are absolutely tied together in East Asia.
Marshall Lipman, over the past 10 years, the United States has shown great interest in supporting the emerging economies in Eastern Europe and certainly in Russia. Does the Russian government now see a change in that policy in the works?
I think there's definitely a change in that there is much less interest in Russia, in America. Russia is not regarded by the new American administration as the most important problem or the most important partner. And what is also important is the new administration is not committed to engaging Russia almost at any cost, quite unlike the previous administration of President Clinton. This is regarded here as a signal for even stronger anti-American sentiments.
Rami Khoury, beyond Friday's raid on Baghdad, Israel, perhaps in the Middle East, remains the most difficult Middle East challenge facing the American president. Do you think Mr. Bush and his foreign policy team are going to be able to quell the violence in this area and get peace negotiations going again?
I think anybody who looks at the Middle East and wants to play a diplomatic role to quell the violence and to achieve a peace has to really take a much more impartial and fair view, I think, than we have seen so far from American administrations. I think certainly the Bush team probably would like to take a more hands-off approach, but the reality is that this is a region of the world whose oil is critical for the industrial nations. So the Americans are going to keep being engaged, and I think we'll and Colin Powell's first trip is to the Middle East, which is rather symbolic. So I think they're going to have to look at it in much more realistic terms.
Rami, how do you think Colin Powell is going to be received in Arab countries, particularly in light of these attacks on outside Baghdad?
Well, I think he'll be received with the usual combination of apprehension and concern about uneven policy applied by the U.S. and the Middle East, tilting towards Israel and applying a double standard vis-a-vis using violence against Arab countries on the one hand. On the other hand, he will be received, I think, with great courtesy and hospitality and even warmth. And we don't really have much choice. The Americans are such a powerful nation today. It's really irresponsible to try to ignore them or even to oppose them. What you want to do is to work with them and to convince them and to cajole them into carrying out a much more fair and moral policy.
Rami Khoury is a syndicated columnist based in Amman, Jordan. Dayan Chanda is editor-at-large with the Far East Economic Review. And Masha Lipman is deputy editor of the Russian magazine Itogi. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks to you.
Thank you.